Going to continue the hour by talking politics. The general election is going to be here before we know it, although the campaigns already felt quite long and will continue to feel longer. It's going to be a close race for president, and a new poll confirms that. Public policy polling based out of Raleigh just out with a new national poll. Most of the polls that we've seen recently have shown Donald Trump with a slight lead on Joe Biden. This one flips that. Biden with a slight lead on Donald Trump nationally, 46-45, 9% still undecided, though, and those folks are going to make a big difference in the end. Tom Jensen is the director of public policy polling. Publicpolicypolling.com is their website for more information. Tom joins us on the phone right now to say a little bit more about this national poll and where things stand in the general election race. Tom, thank you so much for being with us today. Good morning.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
Didn't mention this, but you also did a survey about the generic congressional race, which found pretty much the same thing, 46-45, this time with the Republicans in the lead, but kind of the same story for both Congress and the presidency, a virtual tie with about 9% of voters undecided. What do you make of the results here?
Yeah, I mean, everything just points to the country being about as closely divided politically as it could possibly be. But as you noted, this poll having Joe Biden ahead, even if it's just 46-45 in the national picture, I think does start to show a little bit of improvement for him from where his poll numbers were maybe a month or two ago. I think a couple of things have happened this month that might be helping Biden standing at least a little bit. One is that voters now simply know that it is a choice between him and Donald Trump. Somebody else isn't miraculously going to win the Republican nomination. Somebody else isn't miraculously going to win the Democratic nomination. So even though voters in aggregate don't like either of these candidates, they know this is the choice it's going to be. And I think that some people, maybe especially sort of on the more moderate Republican side, who hoped their party was going to take a different direction than Donald Trump, are sort of coming around to, well, I may not want to vote for Joe Biden again, but I guess I might have to do that. And one thing that was particularly fascinating about this survey is you would expect that if Biden was up a little bit, maybe his approval numbers were better. Not necessarily the case here. 39% of voters said they approve of the job he's doing. 55% say they disapprove, for a minus 16 net approval rating. But he's still ahead by a point. And we've had some polls recently where Biden in the horse race was running 20 points ahead of his net approval. Obviously, we don't have polling data for every presidential election going back to the start of our country's history. But I have to imagine that if President Biden does get reelected with a percentage win in the popular vote that's 20 points better than his net approval, that would probably be the biggest disconnect we've ever seen between how voters feel about a president and how they actually vote for a president. And of course, that's the Donald Trump effect.
And we've talked about the undecided voters in previous conversations, where kind of the prevailing wisdom about the undecided voters is that these are folks who are generally left-leaning, probably supported Biden in 2020, and just haven't made up their minds to support him again in 2024. Obviously, with the race 46-45, those 9% of undecided voters are really pivotal here. So what do we know about the 9% in this particular survey?
Well, the biggest thing they have in common is that they don't like either of the candidates. And that actually leads to sort of an interesting thing I've been looking at in our polls recently, is you'll hear so many pundits say, you know, all of the voters dislike both Biden and Trump. It's not really true. 80% of people in the electorate actually do at least like one out of Biden and Trump. So it's really only about 20% of the voters in the country that don't like either of them, sort of contrary to what often kind of gets put out there. And most of these people who are in that undecided column do fall into that 20% who don't like either of them. As you say, it tends to be a younger-leaning crowd. A lot of this is being driven in particular by unhappiness with President Biden's handling of the situation in the Middle East. And we'll just see how much of an issue that still is 7.5 months from now when people go to vote. But you can definitely see a path to reelection for Biden. Although we should note, in 2020, Biden won the popular vote by 4 points and only won the key swing states by 1 point. There was about a 3-point disconnect between the national popular vote and how things went in the swing states. So even if Biden did win the national popular vote by a point, like we're seeing in this survey, he would still most likely lose in the Electoral College and lose the election overall, even with a narrow popular vote win this year. So he still needs to continue improving on where he is from right now. A 1-point win in the national popular vote is not going to win the election.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling. PublicPolicyPolling.com is the website, and we're talking about a new national survey they just released recently. And you mentioned the war in Gaza as being an issue that's on the minds of a lot of voters. This survey also took a look at some other issues as well. Which of them seem to be the most kind of impactful in making up people's minds or potentially changing people's minds?
Yeah, we were looking at sort of how, if you contrast Joe Biden and Donald Trump's positions on some issues, what impacts that might have on the race. And the thing that we saw that sort of was the biggest mover is if you contrast that when it comes to dealing with inflation, that Joe Biden wants to increase taxes on corporations and individuals who make more than $400,000 a year, and Donald Trump wants to reduce inflation by cutting Medicare and Social Security. We then asked people, okay, now that you know that, how would you vote? It goes from a 1-point Biden lead to a 12-point Biden lead. Obviously, you never have elections that are, fought so narrowly on one issue like that. But it does show that that is something that's probably a point of emphasis for Biden and his team moving forward. It's really sort of emphasizing that populist economic argument. The reality is that even though Trump really projects as a populist, he ultimately is mostly doing the bidding of the ultra-wealthy, and Biden wants to do things like protect Social Security and Medicare, needs to do a better job of getting that message out there. And even though it's a smaller movement, we do continue to see that abortion is a pretty potent issue for Democrats. When we sort of outlined Biden and Trump's positions on that issue, it only took Biden's lead from 1 point to 4 points in the national popular vote, but a 4-point win probably would mean an overall win in the Electoral College, too. So I think that you'll continue to see Democrats hammer home that issue in the months to come.
And getting back to those undecided voters who don't like either candidate, that does potentially leave the option open for them to not just choose to support one or the other candidate, but also stay home or maybe vote for a third-party candidate. We're hearing a lot about RFK Jr., but other potential third parties or independent bids are out there right now. I know this survey didn't really touch on that, but any indication in other surveys you're looking at as to what, if any, impact a third-party candidate might have?
Yeah, it's interesting. Earlier in the cycle, we were seeing very clearly that most votes for a third-party candidate would be coming away from Biden, and that the impact of a third-party candidate really would be to throw the election to Trump. I still think that's probably true overall, but we're not seeing that as strongly as we did earlier in the cycle. For instance, we did a poll in Georgia a couple weeks ago where we included Robert F. Kennedy and Cornel West as people who that as options that people could vote for. And then we asked again who people would vote for if those weren't options. And the margin between Biden and Trump was the same in that particular poll, whether you included the third party candidates or not. So I think we're getting to more of a point where that may just be a wash sort of in terms of the impact that it has. And it's also, I think, simply not going to have that much of an impact. Right now, third-party candidates in aggregate are pulling around 10%. And historically, what we've seen is that third-party candidates in November get a pretty small fraction of what they're pulling at this time of year. So I think that even if Robert F. Kennedy is on the ballot, even if No Labels runs a candidate, even if there's Green Party and Libertarian, that sort of thing, I'd be surprised if the third-party vote adds up to much more than 5 or 6%.
Speaking with Tom Jensen again, Public Policy Polling. Got to wrap up as we do. Any other numbers out of this poll or anything else that you're seeing out there that folks should be aware of?
Well, we actually did arguably our best poll for Biden of the entire year last week. And it was in a suburban Pittsburgh legislative district, sort of a highly educated area. And it was a district that Biden won by a point. in 2020, and we found him up by 3 points this time around. And there haven't been very many polls that have shown Biden doing better than he did somewhere last time around. I think what's significant about that is when you look at the results of the Republican primary elections across the country so far this year, the places where Nikki Haley did really well and where Donald Trump was unusually weak were those sort of suburban areas that have been trending away from Republicans really since Trump came on the scene about a decade ago. And I think what that tells us is that this split we're seeing in American politics, where Democrats get stronger and stronger in urban areas, Republicans get stronger and stronger in rural areas, is still continuing to happen. That divide is getting even bigger than it was in 2016, 2020. The good news for Democrats on that front is that more and more of the population is in those urban areas now. Less and less of the population now is in those rural areas. So that sort of demographic change could help make a difference for Democrats in a super close election.
PublicPolicyPolling.com is the website. Get more information there. Tom Jensen, as always, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.